Hi friends, this is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're looking at the names and titles of God, and this is Lesson 7, God Our Fortress and Protector. Before we begin, let's pray. Our Father, we pray that as we study your word, that you would teach us about yourself and help us to trust in you and your defense and your protection of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A number of metaphors refer to God's protection for his people. He is our shield, our fortress, our hiding place, keeper, refuge, rock, our shade, our shelter, our stronghold. In many of the passages that use metaphors of God, our protector, we find several metaphors, or perhaps titles, used in parallel. So instead of discussing the definitions as we come to them, I think it will be helpful this time to display a number of them together and then see how they're used in Scripture. First, God, our refuge and fortress. America has no real history of refuge and fortress, except perhaps the Western Stockade, where settlers might gather during times of unrest. But in Old Testament days, especially before the Romans brought peace to Palestine, a refuge or fortress was a very real need. Unwalled villages were clustered around walled stronghold cities, where residents in the region would flee in times of war. High towers and ramparts could be defended against a force many times their size. A number of words describing fortresses are used as metaphors of God's defense and protection. Maksa, which means a place of refuge, shelter, from the word chasach, to seek refuge, flee for protection. And then another, Metsuda, fastness, stronghold, fortress, apparently related to Metsad, which means mountain height or summit, and then fortress or castle. Masada, Herod's great fortress palace plateau near the Dead Sea, comes from this word. In 1 Samuel 23, we see that David hides from Saul in the natural mountain strongholds, Metsad, in the wilderness and near En-Gedi. Migdal is a great or tall place, means tower, from the word gadol, grow up, become great, probably deriving from early times when a tower was the largest structure in town. Strong tower is a pair of words, oz, strong, and migdal, tower. Mizgab, high place, refuge, from the verb sagab, be inaccessibly high, and is used in the PL stem in Psalm 94:14 with the connotation to set on high and then defend or protect. Mizgab is also used as a descriptor of God in 2 Samuel 22:3 and Psalm 46:7 and 11. Me'az, place of strength, hence of safety. The verb carries the idea of taking shelter quickly, while the noun can be used of various types of places of security and is most commonly used figuratively, designating God as the refuge of his people. Manas, place of escape, from the word nous, flee, a verb which denotes rapid movement away from or escape from real or imagined danger. And then finally, Meon, place of habitation, dwelling, from un, to dwell. Each of these metaphors has its own flavor, as suggested by the verbs that they derive from. And when used as a metaphor of God's protection, they are often used in synonymous parallelism, as near synonyms, rather than emphasizing the differences between the words. Next, God is our rock, our shade, our hiding place. God is a place of refuge during siege, but also a place of personal refuge. The ancient Near East was plagued by bandits, gangs of marauding raiders who would pounce on an unprotected village, take plunder, rape its women, perhaps take slaves or slaughter the inhabitants. In times like these, God is seen as a great rock in which to hide, a hiding place and shade. There are two words for rock used this way. Sur, massive rock. This word is used of boulders or formations of stone, and for the material which composes mountains. The caves of the rocks are places where David and his men sought safety when they were being hunted by King Saul and his armies. Yahweh is called a rock many times. And then there's another word, Selah, split rock. The second word is for rock or cliff, related to an Arabic root, Salah, to split. Thus, Selah refers basically to a cleft in the rock, thus a rock or a cliff. Both words for rock are used of God. With the metaphor of rock, God himself is seen as a place of security and refuge. In the New Testament, Christ also takes on the image of our rock. A pair of related words describe the safety found in the shelter of God. Seter, hiding place, is from the verb satar, to hide or conceal. Yahweh is a place of refuge and protection from all the dangers that a believer may experience. Sel is a word that provides positive ideas of shade, protection, and defense. Shade from a boulder or rock provides some relief from the scorching heat of the Near Eastern noonday. Shadow can also be used figuratively for the protection offered by a nation. Yahweh is the shade or source of protection for his people. A third kind of metaphor of protection is that used of defensive armament. Magen is a small or more common type of round shield carried by light infantry and officers, from Ganon, to cover over shield from danger. Sometimes Magen is used figuratively of princes as protectors of the realm, and perhaps of a suzerain as a benefactor or protector. Then there's Sina, a large rectangular shield that covers the whole body. And something called a buckler, Sokera, usually understood as the small shield used in closest combat or some type of armor, as clearly related to the verbal root sakar, to go around, turn away, or turn about. The word is translated in the New International Bible as rampart, but I think small shield is probably a better translation. And then once, Yahweh is referred to as my sword. We'll meet a few words, but these are the main words that are used as metaphors for God. But just an analytical look at the words doesn't give us a flavor of how Scripture uses these words. So let's take one longer passage, Psalm 91, a hymn celebrating God's protection. Why don't you begin by reading the whole psalm aloud from your Bible? Along the way, revel in your God, the protector. We'll comment on a few of the words, using this as an occasion to examine God, our protector. In verse 1, the psalmist pictures tucking oneself into a place in God where he cannot be seen and attacked by outsiders. Verse 1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. God has a secret place, a hiding place, seter, a shelter for us. The word is a metaphor for God elsewhere. Psalm 32:7, you are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. And then Psalm 119:114, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Then the latter part of verse 1 of Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. God's shadow is another way of describing his protection. In a couple of verses, shade might be seen as a metaphor for God himself. Psalm 121:5, the Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. And then Isaiah 25:4, for you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm, and a shade from the heat. The psalmist in Psalm 91 will rest, abide, spend your nights here, using the word to dwell. God's protection is a constant habitation, not just an occasional escape. It's interesting to see in the first two verses of Psalm 91, in addition to the protection metaphors, four names and titles of God: Most High, Almighty, Yahweh, and God, Elohim. The psalmist is almost savoring the care of one God under these four names and concepts. Now look at verse 2, where the psalmist testifies that Yahweh is his refuge and fortress, the one he runs to for protection when enemies are on the prowl. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Most English Bibles use the same translations for refuge, Moksa, and fortress, Matsuda. Here the image is God as a fortification against the enemy's attack. God Himself is the refuge and strong refuge in other passages. In a few minutes we'll examine more verses along this line. Verse 3, surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. Now the psalmist extols God's protection from other kinds of dangers. The fowler's snare is figurative of those who try to trap us. The fowler caught birds with a snare or net for food. Deadly pestilence, King James's noisome pestilence, refers to the dangers of disease and epidemics. Psalm 91:4, He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. This metaphor draws the picture of a bird providing protection to its children by the shadow of His wings, as in Psalm 17 and Psalm 36. Jesus used this metaphor with reference to unbelieving Jerusalem, Luke 13:34. How often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. And then the latter part of Psalm 91, verse 4, His faithfulness will be your shield and buckler. Now the metaphor is changing to military armor. God's faithfulness or truth to protect His own is compared to a shield and buckler. Now verses 5 through 8, the psalmist continues describing the security that the Lord will provide. Notice that God's protection isn't just limited to one kind of threat or at one time of day. Verse 5, You will not fear the terror of night nor the arrow that flies by day. Fear often comes at night. God is there. The arrows of battle or the marketplace may zing by day. The Lord is with us then as well. Verse 6, Nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Disease that might strike by day or night cannot penetrate God's defense around us. Verses 7 and 8, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. The psalmist depicts a believer surviving amidst the wholesale slaughter of a battleground. A city devastated and crushed, or a multitude laid low by sickness and death. Many a soldier has prayed using this verse as a springboard. Verses 9 and 10. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. Now the psalmist returns to the fortress image, Moksa. He picks up the theme of verse 1, dwelling with the Most High. God is both His fortress in times of distress and His constant home, Maon. See also in verse 1, Lord, You have been our dwelling place through all generations. Now verses 11 and 12. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Satan quoted verse 11 to Jesus in the wilderness, and Jesus quoted right back to him Deuteronomy 6:16. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. This is found in Matthew verses 6 through 8. Going on now in Psalm 91, verse 13, you will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Both the lion and the snake are deadly, and both attack from hiding. Treading on the serpent has faint echoes of the promise that the seed of man, the Messiah, will crush the serpent's or Satan's head, Genesis 3:15, Romans 16:20. Going on now, Psalm 91:14, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. When we love God and know his name, he watches out for us with both protection and rescue, whichever is appropriate to our need. Now verses 15 through 16. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Because the psalmist knows Yahweh's name, he can call upon it. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now let's look at discussion question one based on this psalm. What is the protected one required to do in times of danger? You'll see the answer in verses 1 and 2 and then verse 9. And what metaphors are used of God's protection in this psalm? Well, let's now look at God our shield. Psalm 91 is a wonderful assurance of God's protection. We saw in verse 4, God is our shield, usually the word magen. In the ancient Near East, warriors used two kinds of shields. A small shield, used in hand-to-hand combat, that covered about half of the soldier's body. It had to be light enough to allow for mobility, but hard enough to ward off blows of an attacker. Shields were made of leather, wood, and metal. Their shape often reflected the tradition of the particular people. The round shield was widely copied, perhaps originating in the Aegean, used by the sea peoples. And then there was a large shield used in sieges. It was full length, covering the whole body, so that archers could fire arrows and still be protected behind it. God reveals himself as our shield in the Pentateuch, Genesis 15:1. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. Then in Deuteronomy 33:29, blessed are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. You see the word sword used there. And then Psalm 3:3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. He shields and protects us. When we are weak and tired, God lifts our head and gives us renewed strength. Discussion question two, based on Psalm 3, verse 3. In what ways is God a shield? In what ways is he our glory? In what ways is he the lifter of my head? What does this teach us about God and about us? Well, the word shield appears along with strength, refuge, and fortress as a metaphor of God our defender. Let's look at the ideas of strength. Psalm 28:7-8. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his Holy One. Strength is awes, strength, power, used primarily of deity and particularly in the Psalms. In the next verse, there's an obvious play on these words that have a similar sound, awes, strength, and maos, fortress. Look at Jeremiah 16:19. O Lord, my strength, awes, and my fortress, maos, my refuge in time of distress. Psalm 118:14. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And let's add yet another descriptor of God, horn of my salvation. 2 Samuel 22, verse 2. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. The word horn is keren, commonly used for an animal horn. We'll be considering the idea of horn of my salvation in chapter 11. But horn is a sign of military strength, probably originally from the horn of the wild sheep or of oxen who used their horns for fighting for superiority. God is the mighty one who saves us, our defender, as our shield and stronghold. Now let's look again at more of this verse and add yet another word, rock. This is 2 Samuel 22, verse 2 again. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. As defined when we began, two words for rock are used synonymously in this verse. Psalm 144, verses 1 and 2 also, is rich in synonymous words that describe God's protection. Let me read. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me. Many, many times, God is referred to as the rock, both the rock of the nation Israel and the rock of the individual who trusts in him. Here are a few, each with a slightly different flavor. From Genesis 49:24, but his bow remained steady and his strong arm stayed limber because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel. Deuteronomy 32:4-15. He is the rock, his words are perfect, and all his ways are just. Verse 15. He abandoned the God who made him and rejected the rock, his Savior. Psalm 31:2-3. Turn your ear to me, come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Psalm 61:2-3. From the ends of the earth I call to you, I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. Psalm 71:3. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Psalm 89:26. He will call out to me, you are my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior. Psalm 92:15. The Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. Isaiah 26:4. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. Isaiah 44:8. Is there any God besides me? There is no other rock, I know not one. Isaiah 51:1. Look to the rock from which you were cut, and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Many other verses refer to God as a refuge and fortress. Here's a final one. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He protects those who take refuge in him. Nahum 1:7. Now discussion question 3. In what ways is God a rock in the above verses? What function does a rock perform in Palestine? Now God our keeper. We looked at this verse in conjunction with Psalm 91:1, but God our keeper bears another look. Look at the whole Psalm 121 as a psalm of protection and care. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Keep and keeper, or preserve or watches over, are from the verb shamar, to keep, take care of, guard. The basic idea of the root is to exercise great care over. The word can be used in tending a garden, a flock, or a house, guarding against intruders, of gatesmen or watchmen. Cain asks, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Genesis 4:9. We're focusing on shepherd in chapter 8, one of the roles of the shepherd, of course, is to protect and defend the flock against enemies. God does not ignore us. He is never surprised. He is constantly aware of us and our surroundings to protect us, perhaps through guardian angels. At night, He stands guard. During the day, He is at watch. He never leaves us or forsakes us. God is our keeper. Now, discussion question 4, based on Psalm 121. What does it mean that God is our keeper? In what ways does He keep or guard us? You know, I've heard some critics accuse Christians of embracing Christianity because they are weak, because they need a crutch. The truth is, we do need a protector. We do need a hiding place. We do need a refuge in time of trouble. Because we trust God for our protection does not mean, however, that we are weak. When we do trust in God, we become all the stronger. Though we may take a breather in our hiding place, we do not retreat from society. We face it, knowing that our defender is with us. No, Christians are not weak. They are strong. They are humans who recognize their inherent weakness and find strength that God intended in God Himself. When you look back at the history of mankind, you see much violence and injustice. Many have been oppressed, many killed, many slaughtered. This side of the cross, we know that whether we are preserved or die, we are ultimately going to be all right. Our defender will have the last word, which is eternal life. Consider these two verses. First, Luke 17:19. You will be betrayed by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair on your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain your life. And then from Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slaughtered for the word of God and for the testimony they had given. They cried out with a loud voice, "Sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long will it be before you judge and avenge our blood on the inhabitants of the earth?" They were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number would be complete, both of their fellow servants and of their brothers and sisters who were soon to be killed as they themselves had been killed. You know, we may see the horror of death or even martyrdom, but our defender has not failed us. He knows that for us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:8. And that is far better. Our final defense is vindicated before God's judgment and at rest in His presence. Let me read from Revelation 21, 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. The psalmist says in Psalm 46:1, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, though I fear evil in the valley of the shadow of death, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. And when I stand before the throne of God, who will speak in my defense? Jesus Christ, the righteous one, is my advocate with the Father. He now is my refuge and my strength and will be my Savior. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. O Lord, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. You are my refuge and strength, and always have been. You are my shield and fortress. When people threaten me with words or actions, you are my defender, my judge, my vindicator. Ultimately, O Lord, you stand with me on Judgment Day as my Savior. Thank you. Help me never to quail in fear, but to be strong in you, my rock. Strengthen my faith. Lift up my head, that I might trust in you. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen.